The Warriors podcast coming to you from Chase Center as we're joined by Hunter Lee, the head of esports for the Warriors and Golden Guardians. And folks are saying what a progressive organization that the Warriors are. Team of the decade by the Sports Business Journal and all of the acclaim that comes with that. But when you look at what esports is to this organization and how it plays a part in being progressive, what is that exactly?
Yeah, I think the Warriors got into esports because part of opening a new stadium is thinking about what is the entertainment forms of the next 20 to 25 to 30 years of the life cycle of this building. And increasingly, you know, not just for millennials, but primarily for millennials, there is this kind of digital first, maybe digital only experiences that happen in person, but also online in front of tons and tons and tons of people. And esports is kind of at the cutting edge of that. We see it a little bit in music, you see it in a little other places, but esports is gaming, a digital experience done, you know, for this hyper-competitive style and online in front of hundreds of thousands, millions of people at times. And I think it, you know, the Warriors are in this because it helps position the now sort of broader entertainment company better to be successful, to connect with millennials and to be successful over these next 20, 30 years.
We'll talk about the various competitions in just a bit, but with some building blocks here to help folks understand the terms. I mean, you hear a lot being used interchangeably, esports and gaming, but what are the differences? And there are some nuances there.
Yeah, so esports is a sort of flavor of gaming. It definitely fits within the broader gaming label. And I think the best way to think about it is that, you know, if you went back 20 years, people played against their brother on the couch or their sister or whatever. And so you were the best in your family. And maybe your friends came over after school and you saw, you know, you would play some game and maybe you were the best in your neighborhood. But you were sort of confined to who can you get physical access to. As broadband internet spread around the country, the ability to compete online in games has led what we originally called competitive gaming to something that we now kind of aspirationally lead as esports, where people, you know, the sort of the cream of the crop filtered through tons of online competition, then they go out and they say, we are the best in this game, and they compete against each other for people to watch online. And so esports is that. It is the distilled competitive spirit of the broader kind of gaming landscape.
We see it in sports used with sports gaming via the 2K League and people playing NBA 2K as not the athletes that you see in the NBA, but basically avatars of themselves. The Warriors Gaming Squad participates in the 2K League. And what is in store for Season 3 with the Warriors Gaming Squad?
Yeah, so the 2K League is still relatively new. We're going into the third year, but it is exactly that. Lots of people play 2K at home, and there's so many different modes within that game for how to play. But over time, a kind of five-on-five digital basketball mode became the kind of the premier mode for saying that I am the best at this game. So not picking the Warriors as we know them with Steph and Klay and other things, but creating an individual character, point guard, center, whatever, teaming up with other people that I meet online for the most part and saying, this five-man squad is the best at this. And so the 2K League kind of formally organized all of that and said, we're going to support it with traditional kind of sports structure. So there are now, I think, going to be 23 teams, 22 of which are NBA franchises who are in the league and say, we have a team. So the Warriors have the Warriors Gaming Squad. The Trailblazers have the Blazers 5 Gaming, whatever. I'm not sure what they're called. And so the same thing. So we drafted, you know, and play a field, a team of five digital players who are going out. And next year, I think the league's going on the road a little bit. It's, you know, just bigger and better and bigger and better. It looks a lot like basketball. I mean, that's the beauty of these simulation games is that they, you know, their goal is to look like basketball. The competition kind of looks like basketball. If you close your eyes or, you know, weren't paying too close attention, it looks a lot like basketball. It's just that these are five gamers against five gamers as opposed to five, you know, sort of traditional players against five traditional players.
Well, to help make the turn, I mean, a lot of people can visualize, like what you're saying, that the court has a Chase logo on it, like you would see at Chase Center, and it seems very much like basketball. The thing that I find so fascinating about what all this represents is how it can enter a realm of fantasy. And the games that the Golden Guardians are participating in give a new kind of fan an opportunity to get in on what the Warriors organization is about. So we today here at Chase Center heard you talking about a new look for the Golden Guardians and how that ties to a new frontier for the organization. What is it that we're going to see here?
Yeah, so the Golden Guardians are kind of the non-2K esports brand underneath the Warriors. And we've been competing the last 2 years in League of Legends, which is the biggest esport in the world. And it's sort of a five-on-five basketball meets chess sort of strategy, real-time strategy game. And we've expanded this offseason. We announced it a couple days ago. We're now going to be competing in Teamfight Tactics, which is a auto battler kind of one. It's sort of King of the Hill mode, so you versus seven other people, kind of last man standing game. We're competing in Apex Legends, which is a 3-on-3 battle royale game. Basically, we drop a bunch of people on the island, and the last team alive, they win. And then World of Warcraft, which has been around forever. It's a 15-year-old game at this point, but within it is a particular kind of competition called Arena, where same thing, we drop three players in on each team, the last team standing wins. So, we now are kind of spread ourselves nicely out around the industry. Some new games, some old games, some emerging kind of genres that we're in, and also some old standbys that, the biggest games that are super well established.
You know, I always hear people act like, well, why would somebody watch this in person as a viewer? Like, an e-sport is a traditional sport if they're looking at a screen, not at an athlete participating exactly. And I always mention an old game, it was an arcade game, Gauntlet, where there was like four people playing at once, and it was communal, it was an experience. Is that what viewers are grasping here?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's not that different than traditional sports, which is we are there to see human excellence, the best in the world at something. It is true that most people watching esports play the game itself, and the kind of barrier to entry is a lot higher than basketball or other things. We think of baseball as a super nuanced game with all these rules, but compared to a video game, a very complex video game, baseball is very simple. The guy throws it, they hit it, they run around, that kind of stuff. Basketball is about getting the ball in the hoop, and there's years and years of cultural knowledge of grandparents teaching their grandkids how these games work and the subtleties. Esports is just kind of on the verge of all of that. It's just the initial kind of fledgling moments. But it's the same thing. I as a player of League of Legends, I want to see the best in the world play. I can learn from them. I can relate to them. I can be, awestruck by their skill at the game.
And is this why viewing it online has become so interesting to a younger generation?
I think younger generations, everything is online at this point. And they're competing online against each other. They're playing these games online. And so the natural place to then consume it is also online. Twitch and YouTube and Mixer, there is this kind of streaming, world out there. A lot of people think of streaming like Netflix, this kind of pre-recorded thing where I just hit play and everybody's watching it. This is a live streaming world where anybody can tune in. We're all in real time watching the same thing, not unlike watching, the Warriors on NBC Sports Bay Area's stream or the TNT stream or ESPN3, those streams is sort of the same experience. It's just that millennials or cord cutters, cord nevers, whatever labels you want to play on them, everything is online for them. So when they're looking for entertainment, they go online. And one of the things they find is people playing their games.
Hunter Lee, the head of esports for the Warriors and Golden Guardians, joining us here on the Warriors podcast at Chase Center. And another similarity is the coaches. There are coaches in esports who run practices, just like in basketball. How do the players train?
Mostly they scrimmage. So we think of traditional sports as running a lot of drills. You're sort of working on an isolated skill or a particular scenario. Esports, for the most part, because you can't abstract out the game in the same way, they will play against another professional team. So they will play a 3-to-6 game block of scrims against another team in a day. And, both teams are working on their own particular thing. So it's this kind of collaborative, competitive environment. But they, so our League of Legends team trains. They have 2 game days a week, and they have 4 practice days a week. And each of those days involves a scrim block. So they will scrimmage against another LCS team, for 4, 5, 6 games. The job of the coach is to make that practice efficient. His job is to get the best out of these players. A lot of that is keeping them physically and mentally sharp, helping them know what they're supposed to be working on and getting them ready for game day.
When this all came out and you start hearing about teams like living together in the same house, it almost seemed like the MTV Real World or something like that. But this is serious business. There's an office, there's a training area. This is something that's really evolved from just guys in a house being together trying to become a team.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we are nowhere near where traditional sports is at this point still, but there's a lot more hand-holding. But our guys live in Culver City. The League of Legends competition is in L.A., so they live down there. And we have an office space that's very close to the apartments we provide for them. And they work out. They come in and they eat a breakfast that's really designed to set them up. They will practice, eat a lunch again that's sort of healthy and keeping an eye on their nutrition. They will have sort of cool down time to reflect at the end of the day and process what they've learned. It is serious business. There's, you know, not exactly money on the line in a direct sense, but indirectly, everybody is competing over, you know, attention from fans, attention from sponsors, you know, eventually, like, who's going to appear at a sold out basketball stadium in front of 18,000 people and hoist the trophy.
So women will play in the WNBA, and that offers a league that's different than obviously the NBA. But in this sport, women and men can play on the same team. And the Warriors and the Golden Guardians have really made an effort to bring in some acclaimed females to bring a bit of diversity and hopefully something else to what the team building is. What has that been?
Yeah, so earlier this year, in February, I think, or early March, we drafted Chiquita onto our NBA 2K team, and she was the first female to compete in the league. And then just recently in our expansion, we signed Becca to be one of our Teamfight Tactics pros. And I think a lot of them have suffered from the same kind of thing. There's a validation that comes from a pro team acknowledging you, and what it helps them do is break out of, I think, what's an unfortunate kind of prejudice against female gamers, that they're not as good. And Chiquita, you know, is tremendous at 2K, but had a hard time playing with and against pros and maximizing her skill because people weren't necessarily taking her seriously. I think similarly, people kind of dismiss Becca as just a streamer, and, you know, and even though she's shown in the three competitions so far that she's one of the best Teamfight Tactics players in the world, we're really excited about the diversity of perspective and kind of broadening what this organization thinks of, considers on a day-to-day basis, and who represents us. And I think it is incumbent on esports organizations to model and represent that we're moving in a different direction, where online we're all the same. You know, this isn't a direct physical competition where men being larger or faster or something has an effect. We should be showing first that this is an egalitarian movement and that we'll take all comers. We want the best players in the world, no matter who they are.
You know, in many ways, this is a lot about education, and in your role, you're an ambassador for esports from the Warriors to the rest of the world and why this matters. What are some of the things that you find yourself needing to help educate people about as you go through being an ambassador?
I think some of these same topics for sure. A lot of what I run into is, you know, people who are parents, whose kids play a lot of video games, who they themselves maybe played games when they were a little kid, who just haven't quite caught on to what this trend is or why it exists. And so their son plays a lot of Fortnite, or their daughter plays a lot of Fortnite, a lot of Clash Royale, some of these games that are just super popular. And they don't, and they're, you know, they're spending a lot of time at it, a lot of time, and talking about maybe what the ceiling of this is, or trying to convince their parents to let them pursue it a little bit more professionally, these other things. And, you know, a lot of what I tell people is that this is a legit business. We're taking care of a lot of young people who are investing their time and energy into an esports career, and hope to make a career out of it, make hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars over the course of it, and set themselves up.
You've been basically a lifer in your career with this. I mean, your background takes you to Yahoo Esports, Riot Games, other spots. What has been your journey, and how does it inform what you're bringing here to the Warriors and the Golden Guardians?
I think most people got into esports serendipitously. No one picked it out as a career that this is what I want to do. And that might be changing now, but certainly for me, when I got in 8 years ago, it wasn't a way to make a living. So I got in volunteering for an esports organization, working on a blog and helping them a little behind the scenes. And then one thing has sort of led to another. And my career in esports has grown as the industry has grown. And there was no way to possibly imagine that I would end up at the Warriors, you know, helping to lead them into this new direction. I have surreal experiences one after the other that remind me of just how far, you know, this industry has come and how far, you know, it's taken me individually. And it's incredibly humbling and you know, all the time to just walk through these halls, talk to these people, meet with people, have this opportunity.
Hunter Lee, the Warriors head of esports, joining us here on the Warriors podcast, and play the role of visionary, if you don't mind, and help us understand where games might go in the future as they perhaps integrate into other popular media, such as music or movies. Where does this go?
Yeah, I think everybody's trying to figure out what digital content means in this new world. But I think esports is on the forefront of that. And we're starting to see kind of hybrid moments where there was a Marshmello concert within the Fortnite game. And what that means is you sort of think about, you know, sort of Second Life or this idea of a digital avatar that represents you as much as anything else. And that was science fiction, you know, 20 years ago when people were writing books about it. We're getting closer and closer and closer to that. What I'd say esports is going in particular, you know, right now events sell out a basketball type stadium maybe 5 or 6 times a year in the country. I think in 5 years, we're going to see quadruple that. There are going to be at least one event a month, if not 2 or 3 a month across all these various games where, you know, 10 to 14 to 18,000 people are showing up to cheer on their favorite players, and that even the sort of regular season games are in front of bigger and bigger live audiences. And amongst the things happening at Chase, esports is just one of them. And it's not as noteworthy in the same way as it is now because it's just become part of the fabric.
You know, I think of USA Basketball, and not to make a direct correlation and say, will esports be in the Olympics? But thinking of the cultural impact of the Olympics, what will be the global impact, say, I don't know, 10, 20 years down the line with esports?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're doing is validating a lot of people's hobbies and saying that this thing that you do for fun can be more than that. And I think that's what the Olympics does for a lot of individual competitions. We've seen that revolution in the kind of X Games world of kind of alternative sports. It took the Olympics a little while longer than the X Games to get there. But, you know, you see what that does for skiers and snowboarders and rock climbers and, you know, whatever else. And a similar thing is going to happen, that there are millions and millions of people. Gaming is bigger than movies. It is, you know, it is bigger than music. It is a giant industry. Tons and tons of people, everybody plays games. What esports does, and what, you know, something like the Olympics coming in would do, is tell you that this is not something to be ashamed of or whatever. You know, that this is your passion and something you spend time in on, and we validate that just as much as anybody else. And I think you'll just see it not, you know, sort of come out of the shadows, as it were, but just be an increasing regular part of everyday life.
Right here on the podcast with Warriors Players, we always do a lightning round to wrap things up, and I want to hit you with just a couple. And thinking of the first game console that you played on, what was it?
I remember the day we got a Nintendo when I was 6, and I woke up extra early the next day because I just wanted to play as much as I could, and I got in trouble for sneaking to the TV and playing Nintendo super early in the morning. I think I was up at like 5 o'clock or whatever. I mean, I've been a gamer from early days, but it started with that Nintendo, Super Mario, Duck Hunt, you know, whatever else I could get my hands on.
That NES system really did do a lot to bring what now is an older generation of gamers into taking gaming very seriously. And what was really cool, too, when you stop and think about it, was, you know, your sibling or cousin or whomever could be maybe 5, 7 years older, but it was something that kind of evened the playing field for older and younger kids to play together.
Yeah, I think everything that you see in esports now starts right there, which is I play with my friends. I want to play what they're playing. We play games together. Some of it's more competitive with each other than others, but that is it at the root of it, which is we like playing games with each other.
All right, a throwback for you, and I think of arcade games. And to your mind, what was the arcade game that changed the industry?
Probably NBA Jam. That's the first thing that comes to mind. I mean, I think the arcades have gone through a number of different eras for sure. And, you know, maybe you look at Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat of saying like, hey, this is a director, you know, it's not a single player game. This is a head to head competition. But I think what NBA Jam did is it said these games can be sort of serious and fun. And it is this over-the-top style. Everybody knew basketball, but now we're taking it and playing it in a way that you can only do in a video game. The shoving, the, you know, going on fire and scorching the rim and shooting from half court and whatever else. It's, you know, it is that kind of wish fulfillment fantasy within basketball. I think that just kind of showed you everybody what the future could possibly be.
And a catchphrase no one will ever forget, boom shakalaka. Now, your top 3 all-time favorite games, what are they?
Yeah, so Chrono Trigger is my favorite. I grew up playing RPGs. I think it's pretty much the greatest game ever made, for sure. I have spent more time playing World of Warcraft and League of Legends than maybe any other game, and they are kind of endlessly deep and, you know, all-consuming at times, much to my wife's annoyance. So, you know, so those are the 3 for me.
Awesome. Thank you so much for explaining a lot of what the Warriors and the Golden Guardians are doing to enter new realms with esports. And Hunter, thank you so much for being here on the Warriors podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you.